piss. Keep it simple, stupid.
Testicles, 1, 2. Testicles.
Yes, please.
Welcome
truthers are like my family, man. They're like instant simpatico. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Welcome back, everybody, to the show. This is Paranoid Radio Podcast. I am your humble host, Trebles Garcia, and this is the third podcast of today. I call this Pod Week, ladies and gentlemen, believe it or not. Make sure you check us out. Ladies and gentlemen, drop a 5-star review on Apple Podcast. This allows other people to enjoy the show as much as I enjoy making it. We have a doozy, an amazing episode lined up for all of you guys, and another special guest and another amazing wealth of information coming your way. We're jumping in from the deep end of the pool, and striking with iron is hot. Today, joining me is going to be an author and podcaster. He's been here before. He took it over. He dismantled it and reconstructed it with this giant book out on Amazon now, today only. Please, John Kerwin, let them know where they can find you. Welcome back, brother.
Excellent. We're all over now. I just submitted the book on audio and paperback to like draft to digital. So it's out on like 50 platforms, going to libraries. It's on Audible, and then Findaway Voices puts us on about 20 other audio platforms. So we're all over the world, every corner
of the Kerwin
earth.
Train, ladies and gentlemen, jump on the Kerwin train right now. The description on the show is going to have the links to his book on all freaking platforms worldwide on a global scale. And if you don't believe the globe is a freaking pear-shaped circle, and it's going to be on a flat surface for sure. We have so much information to go through, Kerwin, and it's an honor again and a privilege to have you on the show. Thank you so much. Now, please bring in the topic. We have the persecution of the truther, part two. So, John Kerwin, persecution. The episode was called Persecution on Paranoid Radio Podcast, and you could find that on all podcast platforms. Guys, he spoke about not only the book, but how he had some turmoil with his family. And how he sat at the table with his kids and he tried to give them a normal, normie sheeple talk conversation. But the truth always seemed to brew up and always seemed to spill over the table and over the characters that his family was portraying. And now he went through a divorce and now he has these ventures where he could continue speaking to us about the persecution of the truther. Please let him know what's going on, Kerwin.
Right. Yeah, the experience is pretty universal across the board as I've been doing this for about 7 years. So, you know, everybody kind of experiences the same weird, like vitriolic response from people, most people. We call them normies or the unconvinced, but basically there's two categories of people. One is I don't know and I don't want to know. And then there's us. You know, there's something wrong with us. We got a mental problem where we're just so inquisitive and we have to know. I think it comes from a sense of self-preservation. You know, every living thing tries to keep living. And then we found out the people that run things are psycho mobsters. So, you know, we're kind of on a heads on a swivel. But the most people aren't. See, that's where... what I wrote the book for. The book is if you found out the moon landing is fake and 9/11 is fake, but your wife or your husband and your kids didn't, and it's creating problems.
Yeah.
I don't have to explain it. You know, if you're a truther, you know what I'm saying is true.
Yeah.
So that's that.
Absolutely. At work, I'm the cuckoo one and I live in California. And when I start ranting about some crazy deep state stuff, they come at my neck. And then I come at him like a freaking spider monkey.
Yes, indeed.
I don't play no games when it comes to that, man. Especially when it comes try to tell me some political garbage. And the good thing about us truthers is we don't attack you unless you attack me. If I'm having a serious conversation or a chill conversation with somebody beside you and you come and butt in, and you think you're crazy and you start attacking me just with rants and degurgitated information, not even doing any research, and you start calling me names and getting loud, you already lost that war. And then to overkill, I'm going to come with some hard facts that's public knowledge, and I'm going to come with pictures and stuff because I already got the thumbprint, the little thumbnails on my phone ready to go because I'm a truther and a podcaster and I'm crazy, a maniac, paranormal, paranoid guy. Right. It's true, man.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, it varies depending on who you are and who you're related to. So, for instance, you know, I understand the concept that we shouldn't ram things down people's throat. We shouldn't, sacrifice our relationships to win an argument and to be right and to convince them the moon landing's fake or whatever. Like if it's your spouse or children, you know, you just got to let them be and stay in rapport. Just, for the last 2 years I was in the home, I didn't say anything.
Yeah.
But it didn't matter, bro. It really didn't matter because it's the elephant in the room. You're already a marked man or a marked woman and you're in kook land for them. I mean, yeah. You joined a cult, you fell in with the wrong crowd. You're just, and it just, the tension just was always there. And basically it's them because they're the ones that put the ultimatum on you.
Mm-hmm.
Right. We're the ones that always have to fold to their worldview to stay in rapport. Right. Yeah. We don't go to them and say, hey, if you don't talk to me about these things I discovered, I can't have a relationship with you. Maybe mm-hmm. we talk too much,
mm-hmm.
but we're not issuing these ultimatums, but we get the ultimatum all the time. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Isn't that right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So what does that mean? That means they're the ones that are creating the tension. That's what my daughter just told me that recently. There's a tension between us. I said, yeah, it's you, honey. Because in order for the tension to go away, you're going to have to drop the censorship mandate for us to be in relationship. Because it's an ultimatum. It's like, don't talk or else. That's hanging over us. Okay, so
do you do the same to them? Because let's say that you lived in a house full of conservatives. And I decided to be... a moonlander guy that I like the moon landing and I believe fully on NASA, right?
Yeah.
And if you came at me and you told me, don't talk about how NASA freaking jumped on the moon because that's a lie, and then we're going to give you attitude for it, that would be the same thing, right? You know, using fear mongering, but you have an agenda to be quiet, make you quiet, make you feel some type of way.
I mean, I get the argument. It's common courtesy. Okay, somebody's pestering me and they're constantly, obsessed with something. You're like, dude, chill. All right, but here's the problem with that. All right, I just did a talk. It's called Help. I have more than 10 rabbit holes in my portfolio. And so what I realized is when I meet somebody, it came from like doing these podcasts because podcasters come in all shapes and sizes.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
And what I found is the more rabbit holes a podcaster was down, the more simpatico we were. Because, what the problem with them is they're apathetic. We're not obsessed. You're apathetic. Okay. Like I said before, if you're in a burning building, you're supposed to be obsessed for the love of heaven, right? Your adrenaline's rushed. It's fight or flight. You're dead if you don't get obsessed.
Uh-huh.
Well, that's the secret right there. The secret is that the truther incrementally discovers more and more how much imminent peril they're in. And they get to a threshold where they can no longer stay quiet. And it's like somebody rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic. And, the Titanic is sinking. And everybody's panicking. And here's this guy. Oh, what a beautiful night. And you're like, dude, you are a sicko. Okay. You're intolerable.
Yeah.
That's us.
Yeah.
After you know what, John? 10 rabbit holes.
I have a gut feeling, a very strong gut feeling that 2024 is going to take you to amazing heights. And your freaking book is not only going to go viral, but you're going to get an award for that freaking book, bro. Let's manifest fucking greatness, man.
I'm on a rescue mission. I'll tell you, I'll be honest with you.
Mm.
My book and me being here talking to everybody and doing what is my own rescue mission. Because My heart's so broken. I mean, yesterday was really bad, but I pretty much cry every day because my kids and my wife. I love my wife, man. If she called me right now and said, honey, I'm sorry, the earth is flat, come home, whatever, I would run home. I would floor it home, bro.
How much does it take to just say yes?
I would forgive her.
The earth is flat. Yeah, I hear you, man.
My kids are barely talking to me. And so what am I trying to say? I'm trying to say that this, what I do, like talking to you right now, I was looking forward to this all day because, you know, I lived in this beautiful house with my beautiful wife and my beautiful kids. We had two dogs. We had some chickens. I mean, life was good. Life was good, man. Well, now all I got is you, Trebles.
I have multiple personalities. Don't worry about that. You can talk to many different people with me.
Jesus, help me in my hour need. Because I'm like, man. And so what keeps me going? All right, so here's the key right here. The key is you, truther. Listen to me, truther. You bit down on the moon landing and 9/11 and flat earth and underground bases and reptilian shapeshifters and chemtrails and 13 families and bam, boom. And the more rocks you turn over, the more obsessed you got. And your family, your friends, your children, they just kept drifting farther and farther apart. But you know what? You got integrity. Congratulations. You have integrity. And you refuse to compromise. And as a result, your life is filled with pain. It's like you've got a rejection. You're alone. You're misunderstood. You're disrespected. And you're depressed and you're angry and you're fearful, right? But here's what you do get. You get glory.
Ooh.
You get glory. You can't get glory watching Netflix. You got to step onto the battlefield and you begin to take your pain and you help other people. And then they come back and every day I get posts. I just got one from Australia. This lady's like, John, I'm torn. My church service is the same time as your podcast or your live stream, and I don't know which one to go to. Or John, your live stream is my lifeline, man. I can't wait for the next one. And yeah, John, my kids don't talk to me either. And if it wasn't for you, I'd be pulling my hair out. That's glory. That is glory, bro. That's my paycheck.
That's the fucking dream. You know? It's thank you for sharing that. I was just about to ask you that same personal question. John, how do you do it? Because look, I'll tell you something. I'm from California, bro. I'm not very educated. You can hear in the I speak three languages, but it's not because I was raised in them. Doesn't mean that I went to school for them. I picked up a trade on the way out of high school, and but the streets basically it nourished me. And they kept me afloat and giving me everything I needed to not only survive, but also adapt.
Yep.
And I've never seen myself with over $25,000 or $30,000 in the fucking bank. Right. Never, you know? And I live still to this day working an 8-hour shift as a salesman and putting all my eggs in a basket called Paranoid Radio Podcast. And I'm trying to imagine and see myself in your shoes here. A man that's made. You just depicted your household. Beautiful family. Beautiful home. Two freaking dogs. I can't even have a cat in this house because the landlord gets pissed off.
Yeah.
And, you know, and et cetera, et cetera. Just visualizing what she just told me right now puts me in a position. How determined you have to be to continue going down the rabbit holes. I'm thinking to my head, how much love for the rabbit hole you must have to put a stop to your regular day life after having so much wealth. And then I started thinking, right before you jumped the gun and you said, that's my paycheck. Right up to that point, I said, that's his payment. I felt it. I was like, you had it all, but you still were empty because you saw the truth. Automatically, everything went whoop, sucked out of your life because it was all a fucking gimmick. And it's fact. And now I'm, you know, people are going through this on a daily basis. Some of the richest people on the freaking planet are the most disturbed and emotionally unfocused and chemically unbalanced. People on the freaking planet are the ones that have the most wealth, and they root their truth on only money. And the only freaking love they've ever experienced is the love for money and materialistic shit.
Yeah, baby.
See what I'm saying? So it's the truth, bro. I hear everything you're saying, and it resonates. And I'm thank you for sharing that story with us. Because
I got another story. It's even better than that one.
Mm-hmm.
This one's atom bomb level.
Ah.
Of why I'm here. You said, how do you do it? Well, in all honesty, I quit 3 days ago. Actually, I've been quitting now for a couple months every day. I was like, I can't do this anymore. I'm running out of money. I took a whole year off to write the book and promote it and stuff. And it's going. We sold about 240 books last month. I could pay my rent next month from that, but that's not enough. Anyway, it's just, I'm overwhelmed. I've got so much sorrow, and I'm afraid of the finances. I'm afraid of the future. I'm all alone. That's the worst part. Being alone, you have nothing, no one to share your life with. So I'm carrying this incredible internal vexation. And I'm like, I got to simplify my life. This is what happened. I woke up 3 days ago and I said, I quit. And I'm not even asking you permission, God. I'm quitting. I cannot will this to happen any longer. Not another day.
Gosh.
Now listen to this. So I said, I'm just going to take the day off. I slept in. I went to Panera Bread. I ate oatmeal and one of those little souffles. I just totally.
This episode is not brought to you by Panera, by the way.
So I just had a good old time. I came back. I did an interview like this. It was awesome. And then I had quit. I was going to record a goodbye everybody video. I was
get
gonna
out, record, dude.
I'm
no
telling
way,
you,
bro.
Wait till you hear what happened. All right. Yeah. So I said, but let me just go sit on my couch and pray one more time. Now,
yeah.
I sit down. I grab my mother's Bible. It's right here. I never used my mother's Bible. I don't know why it was there. I grabbed it and I go like this. God, if you want me to do this, you know, and just be faithful, all right. But what I really want to do is just go be rich. I want to go get rich because there's like 1,700 people a day becoming millionaires on the internet, just in the U.S. alone. I know that makes you upset. All right, so what did I say? I said, if you want me to be faithful, I'll just do it. But I'd rather just go be rich, go get rich. And I opened the Bible. I flip open the Bible and there's two pages showing, right? There's a page on the left with one scripture that's highlighted.
Wow.
Then there's another page on the right with one scripture highlighted.
My Christian listeners are going to love this portion.
Now, this is highlighted by my mother 20 years ago. There's no other passages in the entire book of Proverbs that are highlighted. So the only ones that are highlighted are Proverbs 28:20, which says this. Now, what did I say? If you want me to be faithful, I'll do this, but I'd really rather just go get rich. This is what Proverbs 28:20 says, and it's highlighted, and I opened right to it the first time. A faithful man will abound with blessings, but he who hastens to be rich will not go unpunished.
That was a threat from the Jesus himself.
Oh, bro, this is like if I said, hey, God, what's your favorite color, blue or green? And I flip open the Bible and it says, my favorite color is green. I mean, it could not be a more specific, direct answer to my direct question. But wait, there's more. If you actually get two knives. So across the page, on the other page, is a passage which defines my ministry. He's saying, I want you to remain faithful and I'll take care of you, bro. Don't worry. A faithful man will abound in blessings. But he who hastens to be rich will not go unpunished. He said, don't worry about going off and trying to get the dollar. Ah, got you covered. Yeah. Over on the other side, my seven-year journey, for the last 7 years, I'm a one-trick pony. I provide a biblical analysis of the Mandela effect. Because I'm coming from a biblical worldview. I was in the ministry full-time 11 years, part-time 20 years. I've been in the church, worship leader, youth pastor. So then I find out the Mandela effect is real and the Bible's supernaturally changing. So that's what I talk about. I got 100 videos on this topic.
Yo, that's real. That's 1,000% real.
Oh, it's totally real. So listen to what this passage says. This is the only other passage that's highlighted in the book, and it's what I opened up to. It says, every word of God is pure. He is a shield to those who put their trust in him. Do not add to his words, lest he rebuke you and you be found a liar. It's a Mandela effect Bible change passage. It's God warning people not to change the Bible, but that's what the devil's doing.
Wow.
Okay,
in scripture.
Here's the punchline. One word from God will change the entire course of your life. It revitalized me. It took all the fear out. It motivated me to be seeking the Lord diligently. I got no, the pain tries to come of loss of my kids, and it just bounces off me because you know why? If it wasn't for this horrible scenario, I wouldn't have the influence that I have.
Mm-hmm.
See, because essentially my subscribers, nobody can tell me nothing, okay? Nobody can come to me with a tear sob story because I'm like, I'm on the mountaintop of sob stories.
That
gives me a platform that I wouldn't have otherwise.
Yeah.
So I'll roll with it. I'm going to go for destiny.
You know what? Massive amounts of respect that owed to every single person that has endured that situation or worse. I can't compare.
What are you going to do? Well, I mean, I could spiral up or I could spiral down. I mean, it's like going bald. You're going to go bald. You could either go bald depressed, you can go bald happy, but either way, you're going bald. So they kicked me to the curb, man. I'm out here. And I got to make some lemonade out of this.
I'm not trying to make this conversation biblical. I mean, political, right? Yeah. And I'm not going to say any longer than just this little
I'll
rant.
I'll follow you, man. I'll follow you.
Check this out. I always tell this to everybody, especially in California, because you see some freaking knuckles heads out here, bro. And I'm over here like, dog, okay, so I'm having a conversation and somehow, some way, somebody says something about anything stupid, gender stuff. And I'm like, yo, today I feel like an LED zebra. My color is yellow. And tomorrow, I don't want you to ever assume what color LED I'm going to be tomorrow. So everybody starts laughing. And I'm like, you know, just start off that conversation to see who gets offended. Then it's just, I start off with a little stupid little thing like that. And then everybody's like, oh, yeah. What's wrong with people with genders? I was like, oh, nothing. I know who not to talk to about it. So I kind of pro people, right? The point I'm trying to make is, I kind of lost my train of thought on that conversation. What I'm trying to say is, it is election year. And I say this to people that follow that conversation, and it leads to deeper rabbit holes. And I always tell this to the people that are towards the middle or definitely just blue. And I tell them, you don't like this. I don't like Biden, but I don't like Trump either. And I'm like, look. I'm going to try to put it like this, bro. If you stay with Biden and you go to vote for Biden, it's World War III, bro. 1,000% guaranteed. 100% guaranteed. Check this out. And if you vote for Trump, it's World War III, bro. 100%. But, for that one small 10%, bro, that Trump is not gonna take us to World War III. Come on this side, for heaven's sake, and vote red, dude. I'll be waiting for you with a beer and a freaking barbecue taco ready to go and a MAGA hat. But come on here. All the roads are pointing to the same direction. Just change to this train just for the sake of that 10% actually being true. And people start laughing. I'm like, dude, this is the measure that I have for you. I can't tell you he's our savior. All I can say, he's a freaking bullhorn. And you know, you're going to jump. But again, not a Trump episode. However, same thing that you said right now. You're going to go bald. Might as well be a happy bald guy.
That's it.
Let me bring this into this conversation. I have a point here that really got my attention.
Yep.
A biblical simulation theory?
Oh, yes. Yeah, because that's a hot topic. A lot of my subscribers were, you know, saying, what do you think about simulation theory? Well, it's really simple for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm coming from a biblical worldview. I got no apologies for anybody.
I'm a simulation guy myself.
Here's how it rolls. The top people are like Tom Campbell. He was like a physicist. Elon was the one that came out and really got the ball rolling. Mm-hmm. This is what Elon said. He said, remember Pong, how basic that was? And now look at the games. They're so complex, right? So that's okay. Then he says, so, you know, given enough time, we could have technology that would create a game that's as real as the world we live in. So based on that, it's possible that there's a civilization that's millions of years in advance, and they've created a simulation that's advanced, so advanced, it seems like where we live. Therefore, I believe we're in a simulation. That's what he said.
Word.
Okay, now that's an incredible leap of presumption. So anyway, I flew up to Massachusetts to be a speaker at this event called the International Mandela Effect Conference.
Wow.
There was about 10 different speakers, and one of them was this guy, Tom Campbell. My Big Toe is his YouTube channel. And he's like the guru of gurus among the simulation theory intelligentsia, because he's a physicist, and he's like the leading thought leader on this topic. Well, I had a chance to question him about it. I said, so Tom, this is a simulation. All right, so my first question is, does the simulation have a creator in your narrative? Answer, yes. All right, then my next question is, all right, well, do you know who the simulation creator is? His answer, no. I said, all right, so is this simulation creator like a dude, like God, or is it something? He said, well, we don't know. It could be a consciousness cloud that evolved over eons of time. That was one of his theories. Okay. Or it's an advanced race of aliens. Okay, so I said, okay, well, that's a religion. That's a religion. It's like atheists who believe in the Big Bang. You've got a primordial egg, which is this mass that appeared out of somewhere, out of nowhere, and then it blew up. So nothing created everything. How do you know there was a primordial egg that blew up? I don't know. Okay, well, that's what they say, right? All right, so basically all I'm saying with the biblical worldview of the simulation theory is fine. I did a talk on it, and I looked at all of the different arguments that that community brings forward to suggest that they're in a simulation, but all of them could be applied to God's kingdom. So in other words, all of the things that you're learning about the quantum realm and Mandela effect,
the copy-paste story,
it can still be applied. Yeah. In other words, God's the creator of the simulation.
Relabeled story of religion, same thing. Yeah.
And see, my narrative is much more probable. In fact, it's almost certain, because I have unequivocal evidence that the Bible wasn't written by man. It had to have been written by God.
Whoa, hold the freaking horse. Wait.
I'll show you. Hold on one second. Wait.
What? This moment right here goes to my biblical right sparring here, partner.
I don't know where this has been all my life.
Check this out. This episode right here is going to be direct. This part of this episode is directed to my sparring morning. I have a morning a colleague, best friend, buddy at work. He's a hardcore Bible-thumping Christian, freaking Christian soldier. He's trying to convert me, and I listen to him, and he really gives me beautiful freaking advice, and I use that advice on the show. So this part of the episode goes out to you, Juan.
Juan,
listen to this right here, bro.
All right, Juan,
gonna blow your fucking
Juan
mind.
Juan is my home slice. All right, check this out. This book is called Mathematics Proves Holy Scriptures.
Okay,
and I don't know why I never knew about this book, because this to me is unequivocal, irrefutable evidence that the Bible could not possibly have been written by men.
Get out.
All right, okay. It's Carl Sabiers, Sabiers is the author. Now, he's referencing another guy, and I'm sorry I don't have his name. This other guy lived in the late 1800s. He had a PhD, got born again, and he went in and started looking at the original Hebrew and Greek, which are both alphabets that also correspond to a numerical value.
So I hear that. Yep.
We have alphabet and then we have numbers, but in Greek and Hebrew, it's the same. Every letter has a numerical value. So one letter has a number, then a word added up has a number, a sentence, right?
Yeah.
So check this out.
Speak with numbers, technically.
Totally, totally. So God is all into the number seven. So he started looking for number, like anomalies for the number seven. So for instance, the term Yeshua, if you add it up, it's 777. And the term for Satan is 666 when you add it up.
Okay.
And you think, no way. There's no way that could happen by chance. Yeah. But wait, there's more.
Like Gematria, right?
It's not Gematria. It's just and this is not the Bible code either. That's different.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this is just a very simple basic fact that the original languages, Greek and Hebrew, have a numerical value. And what he did is he went in and he looked for features, he calls them, anomalies, where like one example is the fifth chapter of Matthew is a genealogy. So it's like two chapters and it's just, and so-and-so begat so-and-so and blah, blah, blah. Uh-huh. And he started looking for sevens in there. And so he finds things like all of the nouns in these two chapters are divisible by seven. If you take the first word of every sentence, each one of them are divisible by seven. If you add up every sentence, each sentence is divisible by seven. Okay, so my question is, if I gave you rules like that, and I said, I need you to have 20, this one has 17 different features, and now write a genealogy. I don't think you could do it even if you had a supercomputer.
Wait.
Now, keep in mind.
That's a sequence.
Well, keep in mind, there's the probabilities is a fixed quantity. So in other words, if you have a six-sided die, you have a 1 in 6 chance of rolling a 2. There's no room for conjecture, right?
Yeah.
All right, so based on that, I'll just give you the skinny on this one. Book of Matthew, chapter 1, verses 18 through 25, he found 19 features. 19 different examples where it is divisible by 7.
Mm-hmm.
Of the 72 Greek vocabulary words in the first 7 verses of Matthew, the number of words which are nouns is exactly 56 or 8/7. The Greek word the occurs more frequently in the passage. The number of times it occurs is exactly 56 or 8/7. The number of different forms in which the article the occurs is exactly 7. So,
wow.
It could have been 6 or 8, but it wasn't. It was 7. So that means without any, without any ambiguity, there is a 1 in 7 chance of that particular feature happening. Okay. So now here, based on that, a feature is a 1 in 7 chance. 2 of them is 1 in 49. 3 of them is 1 in 343. If there's 4 features, it's a 1 in 2,401 chance of it happening by chance. This particular passage of two chapters, there was 19 features. So that would be 100,000, million, billion, trillion, quadrillion, 11 quintillion, 398 quadrillion, 895 trillion, 185 million, 373,143 to 1 that you could have 19 features in these two paragraphs by chance. Now check it out. He has 52,000 pages of these from Genesis to Revelation. It's his life's work. It took him 50 years. This is all he did for 50 years. Okay. This is such an incredible testimony to dedication. So, so what I'm telling you is that that's one example right there where you have like a 20 quintillion to one chance that things could line up like that. And then there's 52,000 pages of them. So basically, the chances of all of these features where it all adds up, they're divisible by 7, is 0. It couldn't happen. It's unequivocal proof that the Bible was written by God.
This is bigger than the idea.
Is that crazy?
That's freaking huge. And this it's way bigger than this. It's bigger than that. The chances of you not being born are way greater than the chances of you even existing today. So there was more of a chance that you weren't gonna freaking be born than a chance for you to be alive. And that alone shows that we're divine and chosen few.
Totally.
It's whoa. I cannot wait till this episode drops.
It's crazy town. That though, it was such a relief because it's so easy to understand, right? This is not complicated. Like the Bible code is kind of wiggy, you know, you can get around it, but this is like pretty cut and dry, I think. And the dude did, it's got 52,000 pages.
What's the name of that book one more time if I could check it out?
It's called Mathematics Proves Holy Scriptures.
Wow.
I found it on Amazon. I bought it. And it's by Carl, K-A-R-L, Sabiers, S-A-B-I-E-R-S. And he wrote that boy about that guy. And there's other stuff in there too, but.
I got to check that book. I have one last point to conclude, to close this episode. What if they are a shill? I still need them. The last point you gave me was, so what if they are a shill?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I still need them.
I just did a talk. It's on my YouTube channel, Wake Up or Else. And it's called the pervasive fallacy that everyone's a shill. Okay. In other words, what I started to see in the truther community is people were becoming very fatalistic and cynical. And they were starting to have this kind of like blanket position where everybody's a shill. Any good news you saw in the news feed, in the news cycle, anybody that comes up, does something, oh, he's a shill. He's not really good. He's just a shill. Trump's a shill. You know, this conservative senator, congressman's a shill. Everybody's either bribed or blackmailed, and nobody's good, and there's nobody anywhere in the power structure that's doing any good. And, okay.
That's very black.
At the very high levels, we know that the high levels have been captured. So basically, the idea is if you're in the presidency, you're a shill. Because you're not getting it. But the mid level and the lower levels and the state level, I don't believe everybody's a shill. So what happened is a lot of people became very skeptical and they became neutralized. I found that these people were, a lot of subscribers and conversations were telling me that I'm just pulling the covers over my head, John. I can't think straight anymore. I can't make any sense out of anything. And that's possibly because this everybody's a shill narrative is a psyop to inject complete and utter apathy. You know, because why bother doing another podcast or going to a city council meeting or talking to another person if everybody's a shill anyway? Well, everybody isn't a shill. You're not a shill, Trebles. I'm not. All right. So nobody's coming to our rescue. Fine. But we're coming to our rescue. Today is a good day to die.
It's a daily battle of trying to stay away and falling asleep on the wheel, basically. And not because I wake up at 2:50 a.m. in the morning to go to work. No. I mean in the sense of trying to be this woke guy with the Swift Bowl around the corner.
Yeah.
With propaganda machine finely tuned to keep you docile. You have religions banging at your doors every day. And then you have sheeple trying to motivate you to keep you at a very slow and very low frequency behavior. Then you got drugs and the alcohol. And then you got the need for money. Because in a sense, you have to act normal to have a job.
This is true.
In California.
This is true.
So my entire fucking world is a battleground. And it seems like at a certain point that if I don't use any outlets, if I don't have anything to speak to about this, I'm going to bend that knee and I'm going to sit there and I'm going to take a beating and I'm going to become a sheep straight to the slaughterhouse. And it's easier to do that. And this comes in full circle. It encompasses the entire conversation we had this hour. It brings you back to that. How much love you have to have for this, how much passion, how much conviction are you going to have for this path? And it's a narrow one, and it's a steep one, and it's a rocky one, and you might slip and fall sometimes, and it's going to be painful, just like the climb. It's also going to be painful. So I'd rather be the happy bald guy.
yeah there you go,
circle. Oh man, ladies and gentlemen, this is John Kerwin. from wakeuporouse.com with his own book. It's called The Persecution of the Truthers, right? Persecution of Truthers.
The Conspiracy Theorist Survival Guide.
There it is. And make sure you cough it up on Amazon. We need to get him to 100,000.
Nice.
100,000 of you to purchase that book. And then once he freaking slingshots to the top, hopefully, hopefully I will be there to celebrate his fucking victory.
Come back. Let's hey, when I get my thing, I got a podcast too now. It's called The Conspiracy Theorist Survival Guide Podcast. And once I get about 10 or 15, I'll have you on. You can come on over and visit us. We'll come back. We'll stay connected, man.
I'll join you there for that conspiracy tacos. Let's go.
Excellent.
Ladies and gentlemen, make sure you check us out and drop a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. Paranoidradio.com is under construction. I just got it back. I got my domain back. Everything is squared away. I got to get back to work and building that website. But ladies and gentlemen, we also have a link tree and check us out on Instagram. Join us. Join the conversation. Get into the comment section. Make sure you tag these people back. And the more I get dinged, the more passionate I get. So make sure you hit us up on Paranoid Radio on Instagram and join us on this amazing adventure with John Corwin to make him get 100,000. He's already near there somewhere. But we're not losing this fucking fight, and we're drinking that blue pearl and always, always on a positive level and challenging reality one episode at a time. Thank you, guys. Thank you, John. Have a great
one,
bro.
Thanks, you too, my friend. God bless.
Paranoid Radio.